Listen to the voices of our world.
Stop teaching people how to kill just to maintain power.
This school, which is supposedly helping their countries, really had been doing the opposite.
We're here because they can't be.
It's the first country which has said, we will not send troops to this school of assassins.
Welcome to Voices of Our World, a presentation of this station and Mary Knoll. I'm Eileen Bott. On March 15th, Mary Knoll's sister Lil Mattingly will report to federal prison. She was given a six-month sentence for planting a cross on the property of the Western Hemisphere Institute for Security Cooperation at Fort Benning, Georgia. This institute, once known as the School of the Americas, was infamous in the 70s and 80s for training death squads to kill and suppress the rights of ordinary people in Central and South America. The school has continued to thrive, training thousands of foreign troops in torture and counterinsurgency tactics. On the 25th anniversary of the murder of Archbishop Oscar Romero, who was assassinated by School of the Americas graduates, Newsweek reports that Rumsfeld is proposing the Salvadoran option, where we will train special forces to assassinate or kidnap what the U.S. government calls insurgents. In this program, Eleanor Ostrinsky will speak with Sister Lil Mattingly about her civil disobedience at Fort Benning. And she will talk to Mary Knoll lay missioner Lisa Sullivan Rodriguez about her successful meeting with Venezuela's President Hugo Chavez, who agreed to stop sending troops to the School of the Americas.
You can load us in your buses and behind your prison doors. When you think you've silenced us, there will be 5,000 more. We are gathered here today to put our bodies in harm's way at this school of death and shame. No more murder in our name.
In the January 8, 2005 article published in Newsweek called The Salvador Option, Rumsfeld's proposal to get out of the Iraqi quagmire was to send special forces teams to support and possibly train Iraqi squads, most likely hand-picked Kurdish fighters and Shiite militiamen, to target Sunni insurgents and their sympathizers, even across the border into Syria. Sound familiar? This is the same policy that the U.S. supported in the 1970s and 80s in El Salvador, Nicaragua, and Guatemala, just to name a few. Hundreds of innocent people were exterminated in the name of freedom and democracy. And the players haven't changed much. Rumsfeld hired Cheney as an intern to his Office of Economic Opportunity under the Nixon administration. In the late 70s, Rumsfeld spent 14 months as Secretary of Defense. And in 83, Rumsfeld promised Saddam Hussein that the U.S. will stop selling arms to Iran. That promise was later reneged when Reagan decided to fund the Contras in Nicaragua with armament sales to Iran. And remember former CIA Director George Bush Sr.? When he was vice president, he flew to El Salvador to promise support and funding to the Salvadoran army, who were killing tens of thousands of people they called insurgents or guerrillas. Later, when Bush Sr. was elected president, he claimed that his policies set the stage for peace, turning El Salvador into a democratic success story. Mary Knoll's sister Lil Mattingly spent 20 years living in Bolivia. She experienced the brutality of General Hugo Banzer Suarez's dictatorship. His military, trained at the SOA, or WISC, imprisoned, tortured, and killed thousands. Sister Lil also knew the four churchwomen, two of them Mary Knoll sisters, who were raped and murdered in El Salvador in 1980. SOA-trained death squads targeted all those who showed resistance to the U.S.-backed regime and all who aided them. In remembrance to those who cannot speak, Lil decided to cross the line at the annual protest to shut the SOA, or the Western Hemisphere Institute for Security Cooperation at Fort Benning, Georgia. Eleanor Ostrinsky speaks with Sister Lil Mattingly.
When I was living in the highlands among the Aymara indigenous people of Bolivia in the 80s, what we saw were efforts by the government to take over the land. And so they made rules that only big farms could get help from the government. Now, these are people who always survived for centuries on small farms. And in the community where we lived, which was called Belen, the people were being squeezed because they would take their potatoes to the market, and that was the biggest crop they could grow in the arid highlands of Bolivia. And it just was not worth the price that they could get to even grow them. So they couldn't even buy the sugar and the flour, oil, things that they needed for their own survival. So as this policy more and more took place, they found they could not survive, so that eventually so many of the people had to leave the land. And another whole shanty town has grown up around the big city of La Paz. And meanwhile, the land is now taken over by the big farmers who have to align in some ways with the government.
So that brings us back to, why would America provide a school in which to train Latin American squads?
They have to have a way to keep resentment and resistance down, remove it, so that market forces can work. And some people will say, well, you know, market forces work. Maybe they do for some people, but I would say not for the majority of the people that I lived with in Latin America. And so that's why I need to speak out. You know, I'm not young, 63 years old, and yet I'm not too old to put my body where my mouth has been. And sometimes my mouth has been too timid, and I haven't been able to find the words like now. But I believe that there have to be ways to speak up for the poor. The poor are really rich. It's just that the poor are being exploited in this world of ours. And there are many who haven't been able to experience what we have in Latin America, but who understand, who have the empathy and the compassion to reach across the borders with their minds. And so that's what we see when we come together.
When you come together in Fort Benning in Georgia for these massive protests against the School of the Americas, is that where you see it?
Uh-huh. Yes. It's a huge army base in Georgia called Fort Benning, and many, many of our soldiers have been trained there in one way or another. So we are not actually protesting the base. What we are protesting is one of the sections of the base that is dedicated to training Latin American soldiers.
So these soldiers get trained in various techniques of torture, extracting information.
Yes, psychological warfare, sniper training, what they call counterinsurgency, which can mean a lot. It's exactly what we're doing right now in Iraq. These are the connections that we can make after we know more.
In 2004, you decided to go down to Fort Benning.
Again, yes.
And what happened then?
During the procession, we chant the names of persons that are known to have been killed in massacres. Whole villages are our sisters, are the Jesuits, are Bishop Romero. I mean, people who are known to have been killed by these soldiers. So I wanted to be able to join the group that would be crossing the line. Crossing the line just means going onto the base. And I mean, I could tell you a story about each person that I know, but this man, 74-year-old professor emeritus from Seton Hall University, Ed Lewinson, he crossed last year and was not charged. He told the judge, you are discriminating because I am blind. I'm crossing next year. So he came this year again. So he was with us in our group of five. And we went around the fence, got through the woods and found razor wire after that, so that we had to go around the razor wire. Then we just very peacefully stepped onto the property where I was able to plant a cross with the names of the four women, Itamara, Jean, and Dottie, who I knew all of them.
These are the Marinol sisters.
Two of them are the Marinol sisters, the Ursuline sister and Jean, the lay woman. And so we all had crosses to plant. We said a prayer. And by that time, we saw that the military police were there. We wanted to make a statement that we were against what was happening at the School of the Americas, but they decided to arrest us at that point.
You were trespassing.
They considered it trespassing, even though it is the only weekend of the year that this base is closed.
So what happened?
I noticed that a couple of the fellows, their names were on their shirts, Ortiz and Torres. So I said, oh, do you speak Spanish? And they said, oh, yes, we're from Puerto Rico. And then we began to talk in Spanish. And then all of a sudden we see the soldiers coming with the handcuffs. So they put the handcuffs on us and took us to a van. And eventually we were shackled, and you know how they put the chains on. That was very interesting.
What do you mean it was interesting?
Well, it's never happened to me before, and I've seen it, and I always felt, you know, is that really necessary? And especially for people who have never been known to give any sign of being violent or anything like that, we take a vow of nonviolence.
But do anyway, they know that you're a Mary Knoll sister?
Well, they didn't at that point, no. It didn't matter. I mean, I didn't want them to have to treat me any differently. I'm not any different. So we were taken on a bus to the county jail, which where we spent the night. Now, this is first time I've been on the inside of a county jail. There were about, I don't know, maybe 20 women in this cell, mostly in there for money matters. And that was a good experience to hear some of their stories. And they were just very kind to us, reached out to us. And then at 8 o'clock, they came for us to go to the courtroom, which is where the judge determined our bond. I mean, this is a trespass. And one of the lawyers told us if we had done it in another state, we might have gotten 48 hours of community service. But we are facing 6 months of jail time.
How do you even prepare for that?
Well, I don't know. I can't really think about preparing except just trying to be ready just to give up everything that I'm attached to right now, which after being home with my family and friends and knowing that I won't be able to see them. Anyway, just to kind of realize that it might be a time to deepen my spirituality. All of us have these desires for peace in our world. And this is all I'm asking. But, you know, this society of ISIS are so fearful that they can allow a war to go on, let their sons and daughters be killed in a war that we are invading another country. What they'll say is, well, she broke the law, so she has to pay the consequences, you know. And so that's true, and I'm willing to take the consequences. But I also know it's an unjust law, and there are such things as unjust laws. I think that's exactly what Jesus called us to, and Gandhi, and Martin Luther King Jr., and Dorothy Day, and so many other wonderful people. And Oscar Romero, the bishop, who said, you know, in the name of God, stop the repression.
I don't know. I think I'd be scared.
Okay, I do feel scared. That's true. I think it's starting to hit me as of last night and this morning. It's getting close. So I'm feeling some jitters and kind of tears are closer. So I guess that's part of it. No, I don't want to admit it, but it's some fear. Bound to be.
Yeah.
Yeah, but it's a good fear. It's okay. Because I have so much support, Eleanor. Gosh, I just feel so blessed. So we're just nonviolently saying, stop teaching people, especially people from other countries, how to kill their own people just to maintain power. Something's wrong. Something is very wrong. And I think unfortunately, we're doing what we're teaching right now. We're trying to use violence to maintain power. I just pray to God that we can become aware of the evil that a war is.
Have you lost anyone due to the death squads trained in the School of the Americas? Do you know anyone who has? Email us. Go to www.maryknoll.org/voices. Just click on Contact Us. Or you can call us at 1-877-MARY-KNOLL. That's 1-877-MARYKNOLL. The SOA, one by one. Let someone try, one by one. To whisk away, one by one. But this.